Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, to me. As thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me, give me to meet and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. Oh, send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my heart and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the
Luke 21.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace in due. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till when the church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth had union with God the three in one, and
we're moving on.
Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Wells supply thy sons and daughters, and no fear of war remove. Blessed inhabitants of Zion, washed in the Redeemer's blood, Jesus whom their souls rely on, makes them kings and priests to God. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear. For a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Thus deriving from their banner, light by night and shade by day, thus they feed upon the manna which he gives them when they pray. Savior of Zion city, I whom grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know.
What'd you say, Sister John?
2-2-2.
What number?
2-2-2.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon fire and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of
one that you like to do?
391.
That's one you want?
Yes, sir.
Is that the one?
That's good.
391.
Sweet to rejoice in lively hope that when my change shall come, angels shall gather round my bed and wrap my spirit home. We are passing away. We are passing away. We are passing away to that great rising day. There shall my disembodied soul view Jesus and adore, be with his likeness satisfied and grieve and sin no more. We are passing away. We are passing away. We are passing away to that great rising day. Shall see him where that very flesh on which my guilt was laid, his love intense, his merit fresh as though but newly slain. We are passing away. We are passing away. We are passing away to that great rising day. If such the views which grace unfold, we guess it is below, what rapture shall the church above in Jesus' presence know? We are passing away. We are passing away. We are passing away to that great rising day.
471 is what I think of that.
Is that one I like?
I thought you did.
Yeah.
471.
I have a feeling from inside, my Lord is coming to his bride. And when he comes, I want to see the glorious meeting it will be. He has a mansion where there'll be heart no more, the thought is sweet. And they together ever stay in that sweet home of endless day. Since he has gone, she's lonely here and often feels the burning tear. She is now waiting, not in vain, for her dear Lord to come again. He has a mansion where there'll be to part no more, the thought is sweet. And they together of endless days. And when he comes, the angels say, she has no guilt to wash away. For all her sins, even the dross, were put away on Calvary's cross. He has a magic weather to pardon all the thought is sweet, and they together. She'll ever live with him up there. No sorrow there can ever come. Eternally with Christ at home, he has a magic weather mirror to pardon all the thought is sweet, and they together.
I'm thankful to be here. I trust you are. We've been worried because we hadn't seen some of the congregation. Good to see them coming in. Hope everything has been all right. Sister Dot, all right. I understand that. Thankful for this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord once again. It's becoming more and more precious as we go through this life. It's getting harder and harder to be able to express your beliefs without some kind of condemnation from society. And so I hope we appreciate this. It's good to see each and every one of you here. I hope you appreciate the ability and the desire to want to be here. I want to read just one verse of scripture that I happened to read last night. It's in the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse. It says when Peter and John were in the temple, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, they didn't like what they were teaching. And because they were teaching about the stone that had been rejected as the chief cornerstone of the temple. And the Sadducees didn't like this at all. And they said it in a derogatory term, but whenever they saw Peter and John, it says, now when they, which is talking about the Sadducees and the priests, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. There was no flair about them at all. There was nothing to suggest that they were highly trained people. They saw they were untrained and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. As we come here this day, I want you to understand what this is telling us. That even though they were ignorant and unlearned and untrained men, they saw that they had been with Jesus. If we have a desire today, I would hope it would be that when people look at us, they won't look and say, well, they don't have a PhD, or they don't have the things that the society sees as being important. I hope they see the same thing that the Sadducees saw, that it looks like we have been with Jesus. Now, what they were saying is that in their manner, in their actions, in their desires, they had patience, they had kindness, they had a love for each other, they had a desire to follow Christ, they had all the things that we strive for, and that's teaching us that above all else, we want to act in a way and believe in a way that when people look, they'll say, it looks like they have been with Jesus. And it just, it struck me when I read that, that that can be an identifying characteristic of us as we go about our life, regardless whether we're in enjoying the pleasures of life or enduring the pains and of life. Let's hope that people see that when they see us. I hope that whenever we leave a service a day, whenever we go through a service, that it looks like we've been with Jesus. That's my desire, and I hope that you come here with that desire in your mind that we conduct ourselves in a way that, that causes us to look like that. Again, I say I'm thankful to see each and every one of you. I ask for your prayers this day that we have a meaningful service. Is there anyone that we need to remember in our prayers this morning? Brother Mark, is your fellow you was mentioning, is he any better? Or?
He seems to be better. He actually worked half a day this Friday.
Great, great. Grandson still doing good?
Fine.
Brother Hilton, your test came out good?
Test was good. Thank
God. Good to see Sister Nancy and Brother Don. Anyone else?
Oh, Lena.
Yeah.
I don't know the circumstances, but she went into the library last time and they said she wouldn't be there again.
Remember Sister Lena Terrell, she's usually here when she can be, and she's wasn't able to be at the library last Saturday, so remember her in your prayers. Anyone else? Brother Keith, you have a song with the saint.
282.
I need to clean my glass. 282. Lead me safely on by the narrow way from the shores of time to the realms of day. By the cross of Christ may I ever stand as I journey on to the better land. Lead me on. Lead me on
by the strength.
Let us pray. Most holy and gracious God, as we humbly bow before thy rich throne of grace, dear God, we ask you to accept these prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of desires for thy grace to be shed upon us this day, prayers, O God, that thou would lead us on, that we could stand by the cross of Christ, that we could safely navigate the trials and temptations of this world. Gracious God, we desire and we need thy help. Dear God, we ask you to be around about us as we go into this service. Keep us ever mindful, O Lord, of the many blessings thou hast bestowed upon us, that the times that thou hast healed us and lifted us up when we were down, that has corrected our pathways when we start to stray. Thank you, O Lord, for all that thou hast blessed us with in the past, and we ask that you continue to be around about us, dear God. We realize that our righteousness is filthy rags. We are undeserving, poor sinners. But gracious God, we rely and we trust and we rejoice in thy mercy and thy grace this day as we look to thee to be led on to the cross of Christ. Gracious God, we ask that all that we say and do this day may be to thy praise, honor, and glory, that we may lift up thy name and cause our hearts to rejoice in the fact that thou loved us when we were unlovable, that thou hast loved us before the foundation of time and has regenerated our hearts to cause us to see thy love manifested when you sent thy son to die in our room instead. Oh Lord, we cannot express our gratitude. We cannot understand our depth of our love for thee because thou loved us first. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about us. Be around about all the churches that gather in thy name this day. Bless them that they may also glorify thy name. We ask, dear God, to be around about the sick and afflicted. Dear God, we've had our ups and downs, and we've had our trials and tribulations, and thou always sees us through. Gracious God, we are thankful for that. And many times we don't appreciate the good health we have, and we're thankful, O Lord, that thou art ever behind us. Gracious God, continue to be with us and help us through our sicknesses and our downfallings. Gracious God, be around about our soldiers on foreign soils and on home soil. Gracious God, keep them safe and bless them in their attempts to serve their country and serve their fellow man. We thank you, O Lord, that thou hast put it in their hearts to be patriotic and to love their country. Gracious God, be around about them, whether in danger or not. Be around about all of our law enforcement and our government. Gracious God, keep them in a way that is straight with thee. Gracious God, we ask you to remember us in our times of need and bless all of our loved ones that are in need, those in the hospitals and the nursing homes. Heal them, O Lord, with a reasonable portion of health. And dear God, that as you see fit, lighten our load as we go through this life, but keep us ever focused on the cross. Gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings and bless us once again. In Christ's name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
I want to bring out a point, and I don't really know where I'm going to go with it, so y'all bear with me. In the book of Daniel, and Daniel can be kind of, it can be confusing or it can be scary or it can be hopeful, whichever way you want to read it. It's a very prophetic book, and we get a lot of information out of that. But I want to read to you one part of Daniel, and I don't want to offend nobody, and I hope I don't. I want to tell you what is on my mind. Daniel talks about the desolation that is going on in Jerusalem. Now, if this matches any scenario that we might see today, it's purely coincidental. You can take it for what it's worth. But he's talking about the problems that the nation is having. and that these problems would continue for quite some time, another 70 years. And the solution, or not really the solution, it is, I guess, but the solution for what his nation was going through, or your reaction to what he's going through, is that you should pray. Now, that in itself is a teaching point, but he tells us how to pray, and he tells us what to pray for. Now, we have problems today, and I understand that, but we need to look at how Daniel prayed, because his nation was going through a lot of tribulations. And the first thing Daniel did was he, in his prayer, he gave glory to God. And he expressed his fear about the bad times the people were now living through. They were in bondage. God's sanctuary was being attacked. It was in ruins. So not only the country was in bad shape, but God's church was in bad shape also. And another important part we need to understand is all these problems that they were going to, he admits it was because of the people's sins. Now, a lot of times we try to blame God for problems that happen, and why are you doing this to us? We shake our fist at God and fuss at him and get mad at him. Why are you doing this? And like it's his fault. And Daniel admits that it's our fault. And he prays to God that he would restore them back to where they were originally, back to the good old days. And most of us here can remember better times than what we're in now. And he says in his prayer in the ninth chapter, the 16th verse, this is his prayer: O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountains, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our father. Jerusalem and thy people are becoming a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayers of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. He wants the church to be built back up for God's sake, but to restrain his wrath or his anger, that is, he says, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem. Now this is a good prayer, a good form to follow, and a good thing to ask for, that we ought to be doing this. Now, what I want to show you is that he got an answer almost immediately from Gabriel. He says, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I'm going to give you an answer. You've got problems. You prayed the right way. And now I am a messenger of God. That's what angels are. They're messengers of God. And he said, I'm going to give you understanding of how you can make your problems less. His answer is about Christ coming. And I know you're all familiar with the 70 weeks, the prophecy of 70 weeks. And I'll read it right quick. This is Gabriel's answer. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end to sin. 70 weeks, it's going to last for 70 weeks. And then the end of sin will be, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. This is 70 weeks, and we know through the reading that this 70 weeks, a week is 7 days, 70 weeks is 490 days. each day represented a year. So what they're saying is, in 490 years, you're going to be through with your problems. Now, that sounds like a long time, but what he's saying is, in 490 years, a Messiah will come, a sacrifice will be offered, he will make full atonement for all the sins that have caused your problems, and he'll bring in everlasting righteousness and justification for every believer. That's what Gabriel told him because he prayed about it. Now, there's a whole lot of references in the Old Testament about a Savior coming. And both Jews and Gentiles use this Messiah coming as a basis of our hope. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. But it's a little bit different in the way we see this hope. We, as Gentiles, did not expect Jesus to come in Bethlehem. We didn't care about Jesus. We didn't care about nothing. We certainly weren't expecting him to come. And the 70 weeks that he's talking about meant absolutely nothing to us. Probably didn't many Gentiles even read the Jewish scriptures. I wouldn't think they would have. But instead of us looking for him coming the first time, we're looking for him to come back the second time in the resurrection. That's what our hope is. We're looking for the Messiah to come, but it'll be the second time. We're looking for him to come back when the clouds will part. He'll appear in the clouds of glory, and Gabriel will sound his horn, and he'll gather all his people and take us back to be in the presence of God. And that's what we're looking for. But the Jews saw this hope of a deliverer in a different way. A whole lot of Jews had been following the Bible prophecies back in Daniel's time. And the prophets had been saying for hundreds of years that this Messiah would come in 490 years. The 70 weeks times the years. And they had figured out that from the time, this was about 500 years before Christ, they didn't have a whole lot of details to go by. They couldn't pinpoint it exactly, but they had determined because of this 70 weeks that a Messiah would come and restore them their nation sometime that actually fell in the time between when Christ was born and when he was baptized. So pretty close, you're talking about 30-year span. So if anybody can predict something that was going to happen in 500 years and hit it within 30 years, that's pretty good. And that's what they did. They said, our Messiah is going to be coming in about 500 years. So when they had suffered all this time, they believed that he was going to come, and the same anger and fury that they were being besieged for by in their own city, they thought Christ the Savior would come and pour out this anger and fury on their enemy. So they were looking for a mighty warrior to come and restore them to the very high elevated position that they used to be in. Now, they didn't understand a whole lot about it, but they were looking for this warrior, and they wanted him to come in this anger and fury and bring in this time of peace, because right now they were going through hard times. The Jews had been an independent nation, a very proud nation, and now they've been conquered by a hated, despised enemy. It's very powerful. It was the nation of Edom. And they had been captured by them, and the king that they put over them was a mean and hateful person, and they suffered greatly. And they considered that these enemy soldiers, whenever they walked in their presence, their very boots polluted their holy ground. They hated this enemy. And now 490 years were up, and now these same Jews or their descendants were under the rule of the Roman government, and they were certainly ready for a promised deliverer to finally come and free them from bondage and wipe out this Roman army and anybody that was associated with them, and the Messiah would come and reestablish them as a great nation and put the Jews back in the rightful place. They were ready for the Messiah to come. They were ready for Jesus to be here, and so they could all live in peace. And he talks about it over in the book of Isaiah, find Isaiah. And here's what they were looking for. Isaiah 66 says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger and fury, and to rebuke his with flames of fire." This is the guy that's coming to save us. He's coming with flames of fire. He's coming with his chariots like a whirlwind. "For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." Most powerful God. Now, they knew about God pouring out his wrath on people. They had seen what God poured out his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah and what had happened in there. And they were ready for this wrath to come and put vengeance on this on their enemies. He wanted his wrath and understand what wrath is. They say we're not supposed to punish our children whenever they misbehave with wrath, with anger, with fury. You can punish a child or you can punish somebody and do it in love. But when you do it in wrath, it is with anger and with hatred. And it's with a vengeance. And this was what God was going to do. He was going to come. He had the power available. And he was going to punish with this wrath, this almost a mad rage. And they were going to come for the Jews and help them out. Because the Jews were God's chosen people.